Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight. Thank you for joining us. We are so glad that you are here with us. I am excited on tonight. I'm so excited about what God has for us on tonight. I believe it's a word of encouragement, and I believe that it will encourage your heart. It will give you a different perspective on life and life's pains and life's challenges. As long as you're breathing, if you could take a deep breath right now, and just release it slowly. It's a couple of things, but that the first is you're still here. That means that he still has plans for you. That is not too late. But the other thing that means is that as long as you're able to do that, you will experience trials and tribulations as we know it in the church. We know it as trials and tribulations, but it's tests. And thus is the message for tonight. The message for tonight is truly, this is just a test. Amen. If you could look at your virtual neighbor and say, this is just a test. Oh, gosh, I'm just excited. I'm so excited. But we're going to get into the message. And then I will share a quick testimony. I'm just excited. With the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit will move on tonight as he begins to unveil this message of encouragement, this message of hope, this message to let us know that we're on track, even when we feel off track, even when we feel like we're going through things and things get so overwhelming, that we're still on track. And I think what really brought about this message, which most of my messages come from my own trials and tribulations and testimonies and how God brought me through different things or how he's bringing me through different things, and he allows me to be able to share that and be transparent on these shows. And he, I often say that I believe God blessed me. It ain't got nothing to do with Koji D. Really, it don't. But I believe that he blessed me to be able to bring practical principles unto perception based on the word of God. Because, yes, the word is the word, and the word doesn't change. We can't add to it or take away from it. But so many people don't get a perception of God's word. When people are reading God's word, they hear foreign languages like kichi kichi, it's like kachi kachi, and they just really don't understand. And we can't do what we don't understand. You know, it's really hard to do what you can't perceive. You know, if I told you to go build a beluga and you never heard that, you never seen it, nothing, but I told you to go build it, you're going to be dumbfounded. Now, what a wise person would do is start asking a bunch of questions, because I want to know, what is a beluga? What does it look like? Can I find a picture of it? Can you give me a picture of it? Can you describe it? Where would I get the materials to build it? You start asking a bunch of questions, and that's the difference between people that's successful and people that's not. Believe it. Because a successful person asks the question. They want to know the why and how. Where most people, the average person, you'll tell them, I want you to build me a beluga, and guess what? They'll say, okay, walk away. You'll never get your beluga, and they're never going to ask you the question. They're just going to walk away and act like they know what you're talking about, when in reality they don't know what you're talking about. And oftentimes the person who's asking you to do this know you don't know what they're talking about. So we got to be able to perceive God's word. And so I believe that even when Jesus taught, he taught in parables. Because he really wanted people to, I believe, and I don't know, somebody told me that ain't true, but I believe in my heart that he was trying to simplify. He wanted people to get it. I mean, you know, when he talks about the talents and when he talks about seeds falling on different types of ground, you know, a rock and sandy ground and this and that, he was giving you a perception, because many of us know what a rock looks like. Many of us know what, like, sandy ground look like. Many of us know these things. So when he was talking, it gave his disciples a chance to get a visual in their mind. When he talked about being fishermen, he talked about things they could read, practical principles unto perception on the word of God. He talked about things they could relate to. When he told them, I'm going to make you fishermen, well, they know about fishing. They were experts at what they did. They were expert fishermen. So when he said, I'm going to make you, fishers of men, they could kind of relate. Maybe they were like, huh? But they could relate. If I'm catching fish and I got to do this to catch the fish and I got to put the right bait on the line and throw it out and do the net like this, you know, they knew that. So it gave them some kind of perception that if I'm going to be a fisher of man, then this is the way this is going to look. This is the way this is going to turn out. So he gave it to them so that they could understand it. And I think that we need to be able to understand God's word. And many of us are not living God's word because we don't understand it, and we're not getting a full perception of his word. Amen. So tonight, my prayer and belief is that by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, not by Coach D, again, it's not me. Is the God inside of me and my ability to say, yes, Lord, use me, not by me, but by the Spirit of God in me, allowing the Lord to use me so that he could give us a perception of what he's talking about. And again, tonight, I believe you're going to be encouraged and inspired, because so many of us are going through some things right now, and we don't understand it. When we're going through it, all we feel is the pain of it, whether it's physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain. We just feel the pain, and we want to understand. We just want to know how we get out of this pain. But I want to encourage you, because it's something about this pain. It's something about this that is connected to your destiny, that's connected to the other side. So let's get into the word on tonight. I'm going to take us, we're going to get in the word, take you some notes, jot it down, go back, read for yourself. I'm going to be bouncing around. But I'm willing to guarantee that if you pay attention to tonight's message, if you stay with me, if you hearken, if you listen, if you focus attend, not pretend to attend or selectively attend, but if you focus attend to the message on tonight, I believe it's going to bless you. So we're going to go to the scripture. I'm going to lay my foundation with the word of God, and then we'll get into the message that I believe he has for all of us on tonight, including me, Coach D. So let's go to, first of all, I normally read the word first at the foundation. Now, let me just stick to them. But let's go to Deuteronomy. We're going to go to Deuteronomy. For those who may not know where Deuteronomy is, it's in the first covenant. I call it the first covenant and the second covenant. Most of us know it as the first, know it as the Old and New Testament. So we're going to go to the Old Testament or the first covenant, and we're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to read from the 8th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. So that's Deuteronomy 8th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Now, I'm going to read that. I'm going to do, since it's so quick, I'm going to read the King James Version for you scholars and theologians, and then I'm going to read the word, the message, because I love the message. I love how it breaks some things down. So let's just go to the King James Version first. We all should be there. I'm giving everybody enough time to get there. So let's get to it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, that was the King James Version. Let's go to the message. And I think this is just going to break it down in layman terms so you can fully understand where we're going tonight. Now, in the message, it kind of blends the scriptures together. So I was reading the second and third verses through King James. In the message, it's going to take it from 1 to 5, but I think it's all relevant. So in the message, Deuteronomy 8, starting with verse 1, says, keep and live out the entire commandments that I'm commanding you today, so that you'll live and prosper and enter and own the land that God promised to your ancestors. Remember, every road that God led you on for those 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits, testing you so that he would know what you were made of, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He put you through hard times. He made you go hungry. Then he fed you with manna, something neither you nor your parent knew anything about. So you will learn that men and women don't live by bread only. We live by every word that comes from God's mouth. Your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't blister. Those 40 years, you learned deep in your heart that God disciplines you in the same ways a father disciplines his child. Father, we thank you for the message that you will bring forth on tonight. We thank you that for your word that is productive, that is life. And Father God, that you send it out and it shall not return unto you void. So Father God, we thank you for the rhema word that will go forth on tonight. Lord, you are welcome in this studio. Have your way, Father God. No longer I that live, but Christ that live inside. So Father, use me as a vessel. Father God, communicate this message to your children, Father. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So we just read from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. We read it from the message. I don't think it gets any clearer than that, but I think that's what's going to encourage us on tonight. What led me to go in this direction, that this is only a test? That's the word, that's the message for tonight, that whatever you're going through right now is just a test. What do you mean, Coach D? Well, it led me to that because for I was telling somebody, I was sharing my testimony about last October up to this October, exactly a year. Man, a year passes fast. It passes really fast. But I was really going through some things. I was going through a challenge on my job. New management came in. The old management was done away with. I was the last one, the last man standing from the old management. And the new management came in and said, hey, this is not, we don't want this to look like this no more. We're going to change the way this looks. Anyway, it got really kind of ugly. It got, you know, it just wasn't a good thing. It affected me in ways that I didn't think that it should affect me, especially as a child of God, because sometimes we want to put ourselves up. You know, we think, oh, because you got a title, because you're a pastor, a minister, an apostle, a bishop, a prophet, a coach, whatever the thing is. See, we'll allow the enemy to make us think that we're untouchable, but more so that we're not supposed to be going through nothing. I'm not supposed to be going through depression. I'm not supposed to be going through feeling some kind of way about something, bitter or angry. I'm not supposed to go through that, right, because I'm a mature child of God. Wrong. Because the higher the call, the higher the attack. Bigger levels, bigger devils. So, as long as you're saying yes to God, don't you think for one minute that you're not going to be attacked? Don't you think for one minute that you're not going to go through some stuff? You will go through some stuff. And I'm going through this thing, and for the first time, I think, I'm not going to say first time ever in my life, but I think it was the first time in my life, I was very verbal about what I was going through. Normally, it's just a small group of people that might know what I'm going through. That's pride, but it's a small group of people. They may not know what I'm going through, but for the most part, I'm gonna keep up the facade. Hey, I'm perfect. I'm perfect in Jesus. Everything is great. Hallelujah. First time I couldn't do that. I was in too much pain to do that. I was in too much mental anguish and pain to pretend. And so those who are around me or who spend any time with me, either through communication or face to face, they knew I was going through something. It had begun to affect my health. My health was deteriorating, and I was back and forth into emergency rooms and doctors and therapists, and I'm just keeping it real, psychiatrists and all kind of stuff, because I'm trying to figure out what's going on and why am I where I'm at. Anyway, this resulted in a major thing, and the end result of it resulted in me with unemployed once again. Now, I was sharing this testimony, and the person I was, you know, really talking to this about, they said, well, you know what, Coach, when you think about it, ever since you moved to Texas, you've been going through. And I thought about it, you know, because once you get through one trial, you know, and God delivers you, you get, you know, pretty excited, and it's almost like labor. You know, when you're pregnant, you go through the labor pains, you really remember the intensity, and it's horrible, and you'll never do this again, and, oh, God, you know. And then as soon as that baby is born, you forget those pains. Now, if you had to go back and talk about it again, I'm sure you could remember. Probably can't even describe. You just know it was horrible. But once that baby is born, you don't even think about that pain no more. That pain don't exist. And I think it's the same way when we go through trials and tribulations, once God delivers us out of them, then we kind of forget, you know, like how bad that last one was, right? And so I have kind of forgot that, hey, yeah, this wasn't new. It was just more intense. So, yeah, I had went through something similar before, and then I went all the way back when he was bringing this to my remembrance. I went all the way back to 2002. If you read my book, if you haven't got it, it's on Amazon. I mean, I've been giving them away liberally, but it will bless you. I believe it will bless you. I believe it will bless you because I believe that it has an anointing on it. I believe that God has anointed it, and I think that it will bless you and take you through anything that you're going through. It allows you to reflect. It allows you to ask the question. It allows you to get the answers you need to get in hopes that you could get free, deliverance from anger and hate and unforgiveness and pain and suffering and all that. But when I went back to my book in the first chapter, I'm sharing a similar story. It wasn't about not having a job. It wasn't about, you know, this. It wasn't about that. But I was sharing a story of me believing that I was having a nervous, that I had had a nervous breakdown because of what I was going through and the intensity of what I was going through, being having, you know, a newborn and going through a divorce and all this stuff. So, see, it's always something. It's always something in our lives that's going to cause us pain and suffering. It is. I don't care how in line you are. I don't care how obedient you are. I don't care, you know, what pedigree, what title, what degree you have, whether you have your master's or you have a GED. You're going to go through something. And so that's what this message is tonight, to encourage us that we're going to go through something. Just know that it is just a test. Let's get to that word so we'll understand. When we start talking about tests and trials and tribulations, and they all use, they're used interchangeably in the Word of God. But first of all, let me share what etymology is. Origin of a word and the historical development of its meaning. The etymology of is where a word originated, in the historical development of its meaning. So basically, I want to know the test, because that was the word that kept coming in my mind, test, test. So I'm asking God questions. I'm saying, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me, what am I supposed to be getting on tonight? What am I supposed to be getting? Because if I don't get it, then I can't give it to your people. So I was like, okay, what's this test that's keep coming up in my head, test, test. So I always want to, I'm big on words. I want to find out, get the definition. I want to break it down. I want to see what it's about, you know, where it came from, how is it. And so as I was trying to figure out where test, what was the origin of test, and then it went into telling me that test is derived from the Latin word testum, which means a small earthen pot. In the past, metal mixtures were tried out by melting them in a special type of earthen pot to see whether some purified metal is left in the pot or not. And I thought, oh, okay, Lord, okay, that's interesting, but not interesting enough to keep my attention. So I said, but I need text. So then I went to my old friendly Wikipedia, and I wanted to see what the American definition of test was, and it said, so based on etymology of test, test can best be defined as a procedure. Listen, it's going to make sense in a minute. It's going to make sense to you in a minute. It can best be defined as a procedure intended to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something, especially before it's taken into widespread use. Man, I almost jumped out of my seat. If you didn't get it, you didn't get it. But I almost jumped out of my seat. because when we're going through these tests in life, and they are not comfortable. They're not comfortable. They take us out of our comfort zone. But it's, the purpose of it is to establish quality, performance, and reliability. Are we reliable? Are we performing at our maximum potential? And are we operating in the spirit of quality? And every time we go through these tests, they're supposed to take us to the next level. And if you think about it, when you were in school and it came time for test day, you took the test. And if you didn't pass by a certain grade, you failed the test. And what happened? You had to do a retake. You had to do a retest. Some places only allow you to do one retest. If you failed on both tests, then you got a failing grade, and then depending on how well you did on other tests, it averaged out. And if you just was a poor test taker and you kept failing, then most likely, especially in elementary school, I don't even know if they do this anymore, but you used to get flunked. You may not be going up to second grade with the rest of your homies. You know what I'm talking about? So you might have got flunked. Now, these days, I don't even know if they still flunk kids out of school. I think they got a new law or something that says no kid left behind. So you got a lot of people graduating out of high school that can't read. Matter of fact, I was really shocked because I just found out a couple of years ago, everybody know my background is human resources, and I was onboarding some employees, and they were younger, you know, born in the 90s, and some of them in 2000. And do you know they took cursive writing out of school? They no longer teach cursive writing. So I was talking to this young man, and I said, you need to sign your name here. You got to sign here. And he wrote his name. I said, no, you need to sign your name there. And he said, what you mean? I said, you need to, you know, cursive writing. You need to, and I showed him. I wrote my name in cursive. And he looked. He said, I don't know what that is. I said, that's a signature. He said, ma'am, I really don't. I'm not trying to be rude. I really don't know what you're talking about. And then one of my coworkers, who was a little younger too, she came to me. She said, Ms. Denise, she said, they don't teach that in school no more. They don't have to learn. They don't have to know how to do that. And I was dumbfounded because I never knew anything different. I always knew, even on an application, you still have applications that says on one line, print your name, and on the other line, sign your name. So I was really dumbfounded of why on earth would schools take out the art of cursive writing, especially when every contract and everything is asking for your signature. In the same breath, asking for you to print your name and then sign it. So anyway, I'm not going to get into that, but that was just, I couldn't believe that was going on. Now it took off. But anyway, let's get back on track. Father, forgive me. Holy Spirit, help me. Pray for Coach D. I done got off track about this cursive writing that I lost my point, but a good point. So anyway, we know that going through this test is just intended to establish the quality, the performance, and the reliability, right? And we're going through, going back to that, is that I was thinking about in school when we would take a test, you had a passing grade. If you got so many points, you pass. And, you know, and then if you got below that, you fail. And if you fail, the point I was making is that if you kept failing often, you would normally get flunked, meaning you would get held back because they didn't feel like you had passed these tests. You know, they didn't see the quality. Your performance was poor. And your reliability wasn't good. So now they say, okay, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to keep you back because you're going to have to keep learning. You need to learn some more. And I believe such is in life. We go through these tests, and we're either going to pass or fail the test. We are. And what do you mean, Coach D? How do we do fail tests in life? Some of us, let me give an example. Let me just try to think if I could think of a life example of somebody that keep going through the same test, that keep bumping their head against the same wall. sometimes it's relationships. Certain people have a certain type of a woman that they like, or a certain type of man that they like, and they'll get with that, and they see the pattern, they see the things that they're drawn to, but those are the very things that causes them heartache and pain and suffering. You know, you got some women might be attracted to men who are abusive, and they'll get in that relationship. They seen the red flag, but they get in it. And then when it ends ugly, you know, and they end with a black eye, and they keep going through the same thing. They keep going through the same test over and over. Why? Because they're not learning. They're not learning. And that could be with anything, how you spend your money, being a good budgeter of money. There's some people that just cannot budget money. And they'll get in credit card debt. And they'll charge up their credit card, and they'll be at, you know, buying every name brand, whatever you could think of. And then they'll go take a loan to pay off the credit card debt. And then they'll turn around. Now they got a loan payment, and they'll turn around and get back in credit card debt. They're not learning. They're failing the test. But then you got some tests in life that you go through, and guess what? You grow through it. You're not just going through it, you grow through it, because at the end of that test, you're a better person. You know, maybe it was some habits that you had that you now don't have anymore. Maybe you operated in a spirit of pride, which is not a good thing to operate in, but now you done went through this thing in life, and now you see that it humbled you. It humbled you. So now you're not walking around all haughty with your head stuck up and your nose up in the air, because what you went through, it taught you a lesson. It made you more compassionate. It made you humble. It made you realize that you're not invincible. It made you realize that you can go through some stuff, that you can be touched. It made you realize that just maybe, you know what, you took for granted that you was able to go in your cabinets and open them up and eat, that you could go in your refrigerator, that you could pour water when you want to. But when you don't have those things, guess what? It helps you to be grateful. Came out of that test, now you're doing things differently. You're not spending your money like you used to. You're not choosing the same type of people that you used to. You're not wasting food. You're not taking for granted the food that you have. You know, you used to eat half of a steak. You go buy a $25 steak, and you eat half of it. You full in the steak, and then you don't leftovers. So you take whatever half you eat and you throw the rest away because you don't like leftovers. Well, let's say you go into a season. All you need is one season of not being able to have no food. And I guarantee you that you go through that one test of not being able to eat when you want to eat and how you want to eat and what you want to eat, and you really can't eat the way you want to, when you come out of that test, I guarantee you, you'll start liking leftovers. I guarantee you'll start understanding the value of wrapping it up, putting it in a refrigerator, and warming it for the next day. See, so we go through these things. I think about a story in the Bible. Let me help you guys see this picture a little better. I think about Joseph in the Bible, and everybody knows the story of Joseph. Joseph really was his daddy's favorite. His daddy had a whole bunch of kids, but Joseph was one of his favorites, and his daddy gave him this colorful coat, beautiful coat, and it was, I would imagine that it was expensive in them days. It probably was named some kind of name brand for those days, right? And Joseph had this coat, and Joseph operated in a little arrogance. You know, he knew God had a call on his life. He knew that. He seen visions and dreams, and God had a gift on him, and God's gifts are without repentance. But he, you know, Joseph was special. But see, Joseph knew he was special, and Joseph was arrogant, and he got on his brother's nerves because he didn't have the wisdom to be quiet. He didn't have the wisdom to allow his conversations between him and God be between him and God. He didn't have the wisdom to be humble. You know, he was kind of bragging. You know, yeah, you know, God is giving me this and he's showing me this. And I'm sure he was bragging with his brothers. Even in a sense, probably so much haughtiness, like, y'all ain't nothing. Y'all, you know, y'all ain't, y'all just common people. And as a result of it, he got on his brothers and took them and sold them. You know, and we think, ooh, that's an evil thing. But his brothers took him and sold him. But the end result of that story was, is that Joseph was sold, and he ended up becoming something in Egypt, in the palace under the Pharaoh, and he became a powerhouse. In essence, he became a political figure. He had authority, and he had power. And because of that, he was able to save his family, the same ones who sold him. He was able to save them during the drought and make sure they was okay. They didn't miss a meal. They didn't miss a bill. They lived good because of the position that Joseph was in. Now, many of you could think back to some situations you've been through, and I'm getting ready to talk about mine. I started off telling you the story about this from October to October and everything that I was going through and had to go through and different things. And the end result of that was I didn't understand when I was going through it, why I was going through it, but the one thing I understood is I done been through something before, and God haven't failed me. He has never failed me. He's always been there. He's always made sure. He's always made sure that I was okay. And that's the only thing that I could hold on to and trust is that I seen him do it before, and I was believing and hoping he would do it again. Now, was I tired? Yes. Was I having pain in my body? Yes. Did I wonder some days if it would just be easier to go to sleep and not wake up? Absolutely. And some of you guys are feeling like that. Some of you are feeling tired. Some of you are feeling like you can't take another day or whatever it is you're going through. Some of you feel like the pain is just too much. But I'm here to encourage you on tonight. Hold on. Hang in there. God is not done. And when he gets through being done with what he needs to be done, you're going to be in amazement. I'm in amazement. I'm in amazement because for the last almost year or 10 months out of the 12 months that I was going through this great pain and suffering, 10 months of it, I didn't have an income. I did not have an income. And I didn't understand it. It wasn't easy, but I just kept on going. That nevertheless, you heard my messages over the last 10 months, and the messages were very what I was going through. More recently, I'm in school. For some of you that don't know that, I'm in school attending a university that I'm getting my credentials for project management and human resources. These credentials speak volume in my industry. And what I mean by speak volume, these credentials come with money, basically, you know. And so why am I sharing this with you? I'm not sharing this with you to brag, but I didn't pay a dime for this. Now, flip side of that, it ain't coming without pain because my weekends are gone because I have to be in class on Saturdays 8 hours a day and Sunday 8 hours a day all the way until middle of December. And I was complaining, ooh, just like them kids in the wilderness for 40 years. That's who we are. My God, my God. And I was complaining like, who does that? Who would make you go to school on a Sunday? Why we got to go to school on a Sunday? That's ridiculous. And I'm just murmuring, complaining, And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up to get what you need? And when I heard that, I just had to repent because here it is. Not only did I repent, but God brought to my remembrance. I didn't know why I was going through this season from October to October. I didn't know why I was suffering through this pain. I didn't know why I had to be subjected to it. But right now, God is showing me why. Because had I not have went through what I went through those last 10 months, I would not be able to have the discipline to be doing what I'm doing now. Not only am I studying for two different degrees or two different certifications, two totally different ones that I got to study for and pass those exams, I'm also started a new job in a position that's my background, and now I have to learn everything that has to do with that job. And my boss said to me today, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you're going to do this. That's a lot to learn a new function, a new job where you're going to be over a whole, you know, pretty much a whole corporation that got 8 locations, and you're going to school, and you got to study. And when she said that, I just smiled and said, it got to be done. But I know that I would not have been able to do it had I not just went through the 10 years in the desert. I would not be prepared mentally or emotionally to take on this task. So I thank God that he sent me through the test. I thank God that I went through the test. I had to go through the test to get to where I am today. And some of you are going through a test, or you just came out of a test. And believe you, me, you will understand why you had to go through what you went through. You will understand that. And you just be encouraged that you don't give up. And it does. Sometimes you just don't want to no more. And I mean, I'm not suicidal, and I'm not knocking some people, because some people deal with that, I'm not suicidal, but it's been some times I thought, okay, Lord, when I go to sleep tonight, you know, if you don't want to wake me up, you don't have to. I mean, I could just go home. And I know people go, oh, don't say that. But sometimes things just get too much. But I want to encourage you tonight, for those of you who feel like that, for those of you that feel like you can't go no further, for those of you that's at the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang in there, because I guarantee you, this is going to change, and you're going to look back, and you're going to say, man, I remember when, and it's only going to be but a moment. You're going to think about it, and it's going to be but a moment. It's just like, again, the labor pain. Once that baby comes, you don't remember all the details of that pain no more. All you're focused on is the reward. With every great adversity, there is an equal or greater reward. And that's all you're going to remember is the reward. You're going to remember that thing that you birthed. What are you pregnant with? Men, I'm talking to you too. What are you pregnant with right now? What's that thing that's inside of you that you're trying to get out of you? What's that thing that's got you in labor, that got you in pain? What is that thing that you're trying to push out, and you just don't have the strength to push it out? Because if you focus, if I would have to thank a mother that's in earth, me being a mother, being in labor, and the pain that goes with that. The only thing that's keeping her pushing is that thing that's in her trying to get it out. Trying to get it out. That baby. That's her motive. That's her why. I got my baby. I got to get this baby out of me. And when that baby comes, it don't matter that it's split or wide open. It don't matter that she's in pain, she's sore, she can barely walk, because the only thing she could see is that baby. This is just a test. Don't cheat on the test. What you mean, Coach B? Many of us be cheating on our test. We give up. We stop. The worst cheating that we could do on the test that could cause us to fail the whole test and end up in a different place is when we give up on God during the test. That's cheating. I'm done with God. He didn't do what I told him to do. He didn't do what I asked him to do. He didn't do what I expected him to do. And then we give up on God. We don't want to. I don't want to serve God no more. I don't want to go to church no more. I don't want to be no Christian no more. I'm gonna go out here and turn up. I'm gonna do my thing because I'm mad at God. You're cheating the test. Or you go do it your way. God had already told you he gets to bless you. He had already told you he gets to bless you, that he's getting ready to open up some doors of opportunity for you legitimately. But guess what? We'll cheat. We'll cheat because he ain't moving fast. Guys, you ain't moving fast enough. I need this money. But what we going to do? We go dot a couple of I's, cross a couple of extra T's, falsify this, turn this like this, twist this like this, do this like this. We get the money we want, but we ain't ready to deal with the consequences of getting the money like that. We go in February, January, we do our taxes, and we do a little twist here and a little twist there and a little twist there. We get the money we want, but we ain't willing to deal with the consequences of getting it the way we wanted it. But when we wait on God, because God gave it to us, then it can't be taken away from us. There is no negative consequence to allowing God to bless us, allowing God to do it his way. There's no negative consequence. Remember, it's a test. You know, I often think, and I get it, you know, I visualize, you know, they got these little memes and stuff they do. Somebody put some money on the floor and made a $100 bill and put some, like, some string to it, but it's see-through. You can't see it. So if you're walking up on it, you ain't paying attention, you know. Or they just drop the money and they watching you pick it up to see if you're going to pick it up and be integral. Are you going to be integral? Integral. Are you gonna say, "Hey, somebody dropped their money"? No, you gonna, and you seen the person drop it. Are you gonna say, "Hey, you dropped your money"? Or are you just gonna keep it? Are you gonna just steal? You know, you got enough money to buy a 2-liter soda, but you want a 12-pack. Are you gonna just steal it because you want it? Are you willing to steal it? So it's a test. This is just a test. It's preparing you. Again, when we remember what a test is, establishing the quality, performance, and reliability of something. We're that something. God is testing us. Are we quality? Are we qualified? Are we performing? Are we integral? Can he trust us with the little things? Because he ain't trusting us with the little things. We're not doing good. But then we want the big things. We want to hit the lotto. We want all this money. Lord, you give me $1 million. He's not supposed to give it to you because he can't trust you. He couldn't trust you when you had $100. He didn't trust you. And then he said, oh Lord, send me a good woman. Or send me a good man. He can't trust you, because the last time he sent you a good man, you ran him off. Last time he gave you a good woman, you didn't treat her right. But now you're praying that he sends you one. Can he trust you? We talking about we need to trust the Lord again. You know, oh, Lord, help me to trust you. No, the question is, can he trust us? Can he trust you with what he's giving you? Can he trust you with the kingdom business that you've been assigned to? All of us was created for a purpose. And we're not living out our full purpose. So that means already he can't trust us. So what we need to be doing is making ourselves more trustworthy vertically. We need to start making ourselves more trustworthy so that God can trust us with some stuff. If he gave you $80 million, can he trust you? Can he trust you to help build his kingdom? Can he trust you to make sure that people are gonna be okay, that people are gonna eat, that the homeless? I mean, can he trust you? Or the first night it get 40 degrees, you ain't going out to feed nobody because it's 40 degrees outside. But these people are living outside in tents. Oh, Jesus. Can he trust you? Remember, this is just a test. And we're constantly being tested. Are we going to pass the test? Is it going to make us better? People going through what we're going through, is it making you better? Is it making you better or is it making you bitter? Are you just going through it or are you growing through it? Are you willing to share your testimony about the goodness of God? Some of us, God is keep blessing us. He keep bringing us through stuff, blessing us with stuff. He keep meeting needs. He just keep doing so much. And every time you think, you could think about his goodness and something he done brought you through, the fact that you done woke up this morning, breathing. That's a blessing. But you would be mad at him because of something else. But you ain't even grateful that he woke you up this morning. Can he trust you? Are you passing the test? Quality, performance, reliability. Are you passing the test? Be encouraged. It's just a test. It ain't going to last always. And sometimes you will stay in the middle of that test. Not because God is leaving you there, but because of your inability to take the test. Because of your inability to pass the test. Do you know what someone looks like who has stayed in the third grade for 40 years? Do you know what someone looks like that has stayed in the third grade for 40 years? Don't you think that look kind of foolish? Can you imagine a 37-year-old man? Because the third grade is, what, 8 years, 7 years old? So can you imagine a 33-year-old? Old man in the third grade with hair on his face. And many of us spiritually, that's what we look like. We've been in the third grade, some of us 30 years, some of us 40, heck, some of us 60 years, still in the third grade. Still doing the same old, the same thing that caused us to fail 10 years ago is still causing us to fail now. We're still making the same decisions, still doing the same thing, still not passing the test. Be encouraged. This is just a test. Father God, we want to thank you for the test in life. We want to thank you, Father, that you love us so much, that you're willing to share with us, that you're willing to teach us, that you're willing to give us practical principles unto perception based on the word of God. Lord, I pray that you will just prepare each person that's tuning in on tonight for this thing called life, for the test, Father God. Lord, that each one of us will pass the test that we have to go through, Father, that takes us to the next level. Father God, that we will go to the next level being with quality. And Father God, that we will go to the next level with performing properly. And Lord, that we will go to the next level being reliable, being men and women of integrity, Father, representing your kingdom. Can you trust us, Father? But Father God, we know we could trust you. And we just say thank you, Father God. Thank you for preparing us. You've given us all the resources. You've given us everything that we need to pass the test. So, Father God, I pray that we will begin to pass these tests. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that you will pass the test. I pray in the days to come that you will have testimonies of how God brought you through, how you made it to the next level. I pray that you'll have testimony where some of you guys promoted straight from the third grade all the way to the 12th grade. Amen. And now you're working on getting your bachelor's in kingdom business. You're working on getting your master's and your doctorates and your PhDs. And I'm not talking about I'm not talking about as in the world, but I'm talking about spiritual things of God in your spiritual walk, that you're walking and you're progressing and you're growing and you're going to the next level and you're being obedient to God. And as he tells you to move, you're moving. When he tells you to be still, you're being still. That you're letting him navigate you so that you don't have to stay in third grade for 40 years. Let him navigate you so you can get to the next level. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be in the third grade for 40 years. Amen. Well, I love you guys. And for those who we are signing out, but tonight I'm gonna do a little special song. And if you want to listen to it, you may want to. It blessed me while I was studying this evening, and when I thought about the message that God was gonna present on tonight, this song came to mind. It's an oldie. It's an old song, and I'm going to play it. Some of you will remember it, but it's an old song. But as I was listening to it on tonight, God just wants ordinary people. But he wants ordinary people. He ain't asking you to be no big eye, you know, none of that, that you ain't got to be, you know, all of, you don't. He just wants ordinary people. He wants people that's going to love him and that's going to trust him and that he could trust that when he say go, they'll go. He needs some, you know, they wasn't perfect people, Moses and David and Abraham and Noah. They wasn't perfect people. God knows they wasn't. But he trusts who they were. And he trusts that if he said do something, even when they acted like Jonah, but at the end of the day, at the end of Jonah's experience, his test, guess what? He got it right, and he went on to Nineveh. And God needs some people that's just going to go on and go on to Nineveh. Do what I told you to do. Abraham, take your son to the altar. Do what I tell you to do, because you're going to have to trust me. So here's a song. If you want to stay on and listen, that would be great. For those who are not, I love you, know that you appreciate it, and I look forward to being with you next Thursday. Good night.
Ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He uses people just like me and you who are willing to do as he commands. He uses people that will give their all. No matter how small your all may be to you, little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Just ordinary people. God uses plain old ordinary people. He chooses people just like you and me who are willing to do everything he commands. He chooses people that will give their all. No matter how small your heart may seem to you, little becomes much when you place it in the master. just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had. And the multitude was fed with the fish and the loaves of bread. What you have may not seem much, but when you yield it to the touch of the Master's loving hand. How your life can never be. Oh, the thing just ordinary people. God uses and chooses plain old ordinary people. People just like you and me, who are willing to do as he commands. He chooses people that will give them all. No matter how small your might seem to you, little becomes much when you play it in the Master's hand. Well, just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had. The multitude was fed with the fish and the loaves of bread. So what you have may not seem much, but when you yield it to the touch of the Master's loving hand, then you'll understand. That your life can never be. You'll never be the same. Or if you hear me today, wherever you are, he wants ordinary people. That's what he wants. God uses plain old ordinary people. People like you and you and you, who are willing to do as he commands. Choose the people that will give their all. No matter how small your all may seem to you, little becomes much